A vulnerable feminine spirit has the capacity to melt the heart of a man. Therefore, it is impossible for a man to develop a deep emotional connection to a woman if she refuses to bear her soul when the time is right.
That's a key clause at the end.
Yeah, that's that is some fine print.
Yeah. Do not just jump in there.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Sparrow.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we have possibly the most difficult topic today that we've covered so far, which is going to be showing your vulnerable side.
I was gonna say, we've covered some touchy topics in the last few weeks.
Yeah, especially on the Patreon, actually. We talked a lot about, basically, as we were growing up, our interactions with older men.
Mm-hmm.
And also interactions with sexual pressure from men and some sexual assault stuff.
Yeah.
And some stuff in the news with, comedians as always, because they just can't help themselves. So if you want to check out our Patreon episodes, it's patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. If you want to sign up for that, helps the pod, helps us a lot. Mm-hmm. But the podcast topic we're covering today is the vulnerability.
This is a tough one.
How do you feel going in, Molly?
I mean, I feel like I got to take some walls down. I don't know if I'm ready. It's going to be a tough chat, but...
You're like, I got to take walls down to talk about the walls.
Yeah. I can feel myself closing up. I got like a chakra, like acupuncture mat to bring down my stress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to sleep on it after this. Take a little nap.
All right, so we're kind of continuing. I was doing more research after we had a great response from our Matthew Hussey episode,
mm-hmm.
basically about the whole game of chasing, getting them to more pursue you and making your boundaries and what you want clear in a cute, sexy, fun way that doesn't turn them away.
It's always the winky face.
I know. It's always like, just throw a winky face after you were being a bitch.
That's sexy.
So upon that, I was doing some more research and I found this book, Never Chase Men Again, 38 Dating Secrets to Get the Guy and Keep Him, kind of thing.
This is a quick read, too. Right. Like,
and also, it's not all about chasing.
There's quite a bit to it, and it's you can flip through it really quickly, which I liked.
Yeah, it is a quick read, and I listened to the Audible book a little bit, and it's mm-hmm. pretty quick. He's to the point, and I feel he is a beautiful combination. Oh, the author is Bruce Bryans. He is a beautiful combination, I feel like, of Matthew Hussey and The Rules.
Yeah.
It gives proactiveness along with kind of following some traditionalness.
Yeah. I'll give you that.
So, okay. The two chapters we're covering from this book, because the points kind of meshed together and that flowed well, is chapter 9, Be Willing to Show Your Vulnerable Side.
And number 10 is a lengthy one, so strap in. Once a man proves to be worth your love, cease any timidity in showing it by concentrating your efforts on escalating his emotional attachment to you. Those are a lot of big words.
Yeah. Also, I'm like, chapter 10 sounds like harder.
Yeah.
It's almost like, which door do you want to open? It's like, just give me number 9. Yeah. That sounds... I picked door number 9. That sounds much easier.
Like, what was the first version of that title name?
I don't know. I don't know who his editor was, but you could have just wrapped that into getting his emotional attachment to increase to your level or something. Anyway, I think this chapter... was pretty great. I really have very few parts that I disagree with. So do you want to just, I guess, get into some quotes from here?
Go yeah, from let's jump into it.
All right. So chapter 9 we'll start with. A vulnerable feminine spirit has the capacity to melt the heart of a man. Therefore, it is impossible for a man to develop a deep emotional connection to a woman if she refuses to bear her soul when the time is right.
That's a key clause at the end.
Yeah, that's a... That is some fine print.
Yeah. Do not just jump in there.
Whoa, 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 whoa. No tears on day 3.
No.
Oh, damn. I mean.
Bare her soul seems a little extreme.
Yeah.
Like, even me reading that, I'm like, I don't know exactly what bearing my soul would be.
Right.
But I understand the, like, opening up about essentially maybe some baggage. or even just like,
we don't have any of that.
Yeah, we got none of that. We're perfect. Yeah. I don't know if you've listened to the pod.
I don't have anything to talk about.
But we're both emotions. We're getting picked for The Bachelor, baby. We are their ideal 23-year-old perfect skin, no hips gals.
Creme de la creme.
Yeah.
The dating pool.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's a lie. You guys know that. But, yeah. I mean, off the gate, vulnerability. Do you feel you've ever been, I don't know, skill 1 to 10 vulnerable with any man you've been dating?
I can't even say this without laughing.
I'm like, any man, period? Yeah. Like your dad?
A human being? Yeah, I'm going to have to give myself a straight 0 for that one. This is probably like my weakest category.
I mean, I feel that way too.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel that you've ever like actually been vulnerable with a man that you've been romantically interested in?
Now, we know that vulnerability does not directly mean like just crying, right?
Right.
It's like there's many different types of vulnerability with people.
Yeah, that's an important point.
Right. However, I feel like for you and I, we often relay this to crying.
Like emotional vulnerability.
Yeah. I'm like crying directly, like really cried. Like really, really cried in front of people. I'm like, I think my mom, only a small handful of times, and maybe two other people. But it's like, that's it.
Yeah, it's a pretty low number.
Right.
If we go, be real.
If we go based like on that, very low. I mean, it's low either way. The only person I dated that I felt like I opened up some parts of myself or like was comfortable, even like bringing up, I guess, kind of issues in a relationship. Like there's, I feel like vulnerability for women often is basically like, I'm going to throw something out there that might make this guy leave.
Mm,
I think a lot of times is the fear we have with whatever your vulnerable thing is.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like for me, it's like obviously herpes. That's right. One out the gate.
Yeah, that's absolutely a vulnerability.
But it's like you're also vulnerable when you kind of are like, hey, do you see a future in us?
Right.
Or like, hey, like, are you seeing other people still? Like,
yeah,
there's many different scales of basically putting yourself out there.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I've done those things, but I don't think I followed it up or like teed it up in a way that like articulated kind of where I was at. It was more of just like putting it on them, which I don't know is like, I guess it is like being vulnerable, but like if you're not ready to express how you're feeling, it's like,
what are you referring to, like a define the relationship specifically? Like you would just ask them like, hey, what's the deal with us, without you being like, this is what I want it to be, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that is most people do that.
Yeah. And because, I mean, you can tell pretty quickly when you're not going to get the answer that you want. And so it's like, well, then what is the point? Just to embarrass myself further. But like, I don't know if I did. Because, I mean, the most significant one that like stuck around, someone who I like do consider an ex, we're still seeing each other for like over a year after this conversation, and it was like, well, he still stuck around, he like still, I don't know whether it would have changed anything if I was like, you know, either this is going to be something or it's not, then you know, I don't know. Or just, you know, let him know at the time how much it mattered to me to like keep him in my life, and not that I was just like letting him hang out for fun.
Right.
Because those are two different things.
I mean, it for sure is. Because I feel like, you know what's funny? The only time I've like brought up in the sense of actually open up and being like, you know, I like you. And basically like, if XYZ is going to happen, like, I want that to be like just us, was actually with, you know, Eggs Benedict.
Okay.
Of like, went on a few dates, really wasn't much physical anything happening, and you know, part of it is like the herpes he knew
right
pretty early on, like earlier than I would have told somebody because the podcast came out. So it was like, oh, we've been on like two dates very briefly, and
guess what
so, but he was the first person that I finally almost like kind of had the confidence of just being like, you know, I like you, like, we're at the point, I do like you, and mm-hmm. if we were to sleep together, it would really hurt me if I knew you were seeing other people and sleeping with other people.
Why do you think he was the first person that you had the confidence to do that with?
I think part of it was just age.
Okay.
I've just learned by this age, like, don't lie to yourself when you do like somebody.
Okay.
And you know that you would be hurt if basically, like, they slept with you and left.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, you never saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
Or you start sleeping with someone and there's, like, the thing in your brain that's like, are they just sleeping with me? And you don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's like, a really
fun game.
You have
every right to know that.
Yeah.
Like, whether you're using condoms or not, you for sure have a right to know that.
Absolutely.
That's not a crazy question to ask anybody.
No.
So it was just like, I just knew like, I mean, I think that was the other thing I threw in. I basically was like, hey, if we were to sleep together and like, I don't see you again, I would be upset, was all I really said.
That's a bold and vulnerable thing to say to someone.
Yeah, but I also wasn't sitting there being like, so we fucking tonight? Yeah. I was like, you know, but it was just, it was actually partly because like physically we hadn't even like really made out.
Okay.
And I was like, listen, I was like, I'm not saying XYZ's got to happen. I was like, but when it does happen, I already like you enough
mm-hmm.
that I don't, like, I would be hurt if like we hooked up tonight and then like you're gone.
Yeah.
And I didn't get the vibe that he was seeing other people. So maybe that was also part of the confidence, was like, I didn't feel like
okay.
he was seeing others, but it just, you know, basically when I said that though, I was like, you might never hear from this person again.
Yeah.
Cause that's you're kind of making them be like, do I like this person in return? Is essentially right. the question.
Yeah. Cause it is a bit of pressure when you like hear that someone likes you, like, cause you have to understand your emotions at that
for
point.
Sure.
So I don't know, what I gathered from that is that I am just too young.
No, I don't think it's a young thing. No. I don't know. I mean, my theory is kind of, I don't know if I want to say that you've really liked someone, but I think the other part is, I think when you're hesitant to ask or bring something like this up, I think your gut is telling you that you're not going to like their answer.
That
or they're
going
to leave.
That could be. But I do think probably one of the things I should go to therapy for is just add it to the list. When I get upset, I get quiet. Like, I can't like say something. And even like my dad says it to me, like, will be, you know, tough family conversations. We've had a few of them lately. And we were on a video call and I just like stopped saying something and my dad like went quiet in the conversation. I think my brother was talking and my dad kind of like interrupted him at the end and he was like, Molly, you're quiet. I know you're not okay. Like, what's going on? And I just like couldn't talk. Mm-hmm. I just like cried.
Hey, you cried though.
Well, I mean, in front of my dad.
I give you some points. Like, no, but so, I mean, it's still, I think sometimes people feel this with parents or other people. You almost feel like, I don't want to put this weight on you.
Yeah.
Of just even the crying.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your parents love you and they're going to sit there and they're going to be thinking about you all week being like, man, you know, I hope Molly feels better. And
right.
All that.
Right. So, I mean, I think for me, it's not always that like I don't feel something that strongly. It's that I can't communicate it well.
Okay. Well, that's fair. I think that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
I'm like that when I get mad.
Yeah, when I'm mad or I'm really sad. Shut down.
I got a quick wit and I could have a real sharp tongue. Be real nasty if I don't make myself be quiet.
No, I totally shut down and like kind of put up like even thicker walls.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
well,
it hasn't really worked to my advantage.
I mean, I guess it's like we talk like the rom-com version of when this happens, mm-hmm. right? When the girl's like being quiet and like, no, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the true Prince Charming is like, no, I know you're not okay.
Yeah.
And you need to talk to me. And I'm not leaving till, you know, you talk about this. We talk about this, you know, like, yeah. I'm not leaving and we're not going to bed angry and get it out. You know, like pushes you.
That fucking bullshit.
It's kind of the thing. It's kind of the thing your dad did. He basically was like, no, something's wrong. Like, What's up?
So I got to find a version of my dad.
Or it's just someone that knows you as well as your dad.
Yeah, that's
which,
true.
Which, I guess that'll just take however many years. Yeah. Anyway, but what we just touched on basically is the next quote that we have from the book here. Being vulnerable takes courage, as there's always a chance that you'll be rejected, spurned, mistreated, or simply misunderstood. The reality is that without an intimate emotional connection, most guys are eventually going to lose interest in you, no matter how beautiful or gorgeous you are.
Okay. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's false.
Okay.
Especially like, I mean, I think of it just as myself. If you're seeing someone or even just hooking up with someone, a lot of the times it's like you don't care if it continues because you don't care if you lose them. And that mainly comes from, I think, your emotional connection to them.
Yeah, or I think we've all kind of had those people where we're like, I don't think I know anything about you. You know, like,
yeah.
There's nothing here.
Yeah.
You're fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, eventually that does get boring, or someone else just as fun comes along.
Right.
And, you know, it's just more interesting, which might be kind of bad to say.
No, it's true. I mean, it's true just even in friendship.
Yeah.
Because there's something too of like, I mean, I totally agree with being vulnerable is courageous, because basically, like we said, a lot of times, I guess if it's woman to men opening up, a lot of times the fear is they're going to leave.
Yeah.
Or they're going to ignore your needs or whatever. They're not going to react in the way that you hope that they would react, right?
Yeah.
But also, there's something to this though of like, I've had friends in my past that it was like, all they would do was kind of dump this stuff on you.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, I'm not like either the punching bag or just like the dumpster, basically, to just mm-hmm. be like, yep, every time I see this person, it's just problems, problems, problems. And it's like, woe is me. And it's like, listen, for my own mental space, I can't be just in this all the time.
Right.
But that also, I think, just shows kind of a selfishness in a way.
Yeah, 100%. Like, there's for sure a fine line.
Mm-hmm. But it's almost like, I just feel like this quote right here is almost encouraging you to be vulnerable and not see it as like weakness.
Yeah. And I think it's hard not to see vulnerability as weakness. Because I think,
very hard.
I mean, as much as people do talk about therapy and mental health and like going to like talk about your problems and emotions, I still think there is a huge stigma surrounding all of that. And I think,
oh, for sure,
in a lot of ways, being vulnerable and opening up about emotional conversations to another person and in a lot of ways falls in that category. And I definitely think I'm guilty of it too, of just like, oh, well, I don't want to put my problems on someone else. I can take this on by myself.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't take on everything.
No, but that's like the hardest part to admit.
Yeah.
Whether it's like emotional things or literally like, you know, I'll just do it myself.
Yeah.
You don't like trust other people to do like a simple task or something.
Yeah.
That's
the big thing is trust. Like, so much about vulnerability is trust.
Right.
Which is, I think, the hardest part, because you have to trust that, like, you have to trust the person with this thing that you're putting on them.
For sure.
I've recently been told that I need to trust people more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I've been actually, like, told this in a few different ways, like, throughout my life, of, like, that I need to trust people more and that I'm a hard person to get to know and, like, open up to other people.
Okay.
And I don't know, I think until, like, someone is a real, like, ride or die, like, I stay very shut down. And I don't think in like my dating relationships I felt that someone was, like you said, like a trust that they were going to be there for me. So to open up to them, I'm like,
yeah,
that's just going to open up myself to a lot more hurt.
Well, sadly, it's like you don't really know if you can trust somebody till you actually trust them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Then it's like, that's why it's basically like, this book is just being like, yeah, you want to hit that level with someone, you're probably going to have to open up the emotional part first. Well, this is very similar to the masculine versus feminine energy in the relationship, that like the masculine energy gets typically more satisfaction from being the strength for the other person.
Yeah.
So if you're in the feminine role, which according to this book, most women are, it's like, okay, you opening up not only makes your partner feel closer to you, but it like makes them feel like their self-esteem is almost a little higher.
Yeah, it's like kind of like that damsel in distress.
Right, there's a pride to like, I, you know, helped out my woman or my partner, like whatever energy you are.
Yeah, and I think it also kind of goes back to like when you go through conflict together, like you get stronger. And it doesn't have to be conflict necessarily, like you guys like in a relationship fighting, like it can just be they help you get through something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like tense conversations.
Yeah.
It's like it's not a fight, but there's a tenseness happening. And actually, when I think back with Eggs Benedict, there were like two conversations I remember happening that while it was happening, I was like, oh, this is a little tense. And then oddly, a little after, like we'd just like be talking, hang out, he'd just be like, man, that was, he'd like be like, that was a little tense thing back there. But he was like smiling and like proud that we got through it.
Okay.
Like he was like, man, glad we fixed that.
Yeah.
And I was kind of sitting there like, why is this, where is this joy coming from that like you think you fixed this thing?
Yeah.
You know?
I guess. Anytime I've had like a real talk with men, I feel like it just doesn't go well.
I think that's how a lot of people feel. You don't really solve the thing. And then the other person that was upset just feels like, oh, I guess I got to just push this under the rug and act like it's cool now. Like you think we fully talked about it, but I don't.
Yeah. And I'm just going to harbor it until the next time I'm a little irked.
For real.
Okay. Our next quote. Men do not want to date flawless women or women who have a habit of masking their insecurities and ugly sides with insincere behaviors. We want women who laugh at their failures, cry at their mistakes, ask for forgiveness when they're wrong, and you'd be surprised at how little of this men actually see, and who can share their souls and their secrets without shame or regret. The masculine heart is helplessly attracted to the feminine spirit. Therefore, if a man can stand firm as your emotions wash over him, he's worthy of your time.
I mean, the biggest line that sticks out to me in this whole thing is who can share their souls and secrets without shame or regret.
Yeah. That's the trust we were just talking about, right?
I don't think that's the trust part. I feel like that's the confidence of owning it.
Okay.
Because it's almost like, all right, let's take that, like, define the relationship example, right?
Okay.
When you just do the thing where you go, what are we?
Mm-hmm.
You're fully putting it on them and you're not really showing confidence of like, this is what I want.
Right.
So it's almost something of like, even that simple little conversation is better when you're like, let me put myself out there first.
Okay.
You know what? I'm having a great time with you, XYZ. You know, to me, I'm only seeing you and I would probably be a little hurt if you were being with other people at this point.
Okay.
How are you feeling about where is this going? Like,
are
we exclusive? Whatever your question is. I feel like that alone is almost this thing that's like, as a person getting asked, you're kind of like, well, they just put it out there.
Right.
What am I going to be like? I'm just going with the flow. Like, you can't.
You're kind of cool.
You can't give like a bullshit answer if someone else isn't spewing bullshit at you.
Right. That's fair. Man. I wish I could turn back some wheels. No, just kidding. I'm better
right.
off,
or it's like, I've done the like, what are we or what's going on thing.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, you know, I think we just want different things. Some vague, whatever. This was like in college. And I remember being like, well, how do you know what I want? Like, you haven't asked
me. Right.
And then all of a sudden I was like being like, yeah, you know, like this summer, like, you know, we're in different places and like, you know, whatever.
Right.
Like, I was like, all like, no. And it's like, no, he knew.
Yeah,
he knew, and he knew I was full of shit.
Yeah.
He knew I was like, he's like, no, you like me and you want it to be just us.
Yeah. And you can sense when it's not, like when you tee it up that way, you can sense when it's not going your way. So you can kind of like back into something else. And then you're like, I just gave them exactly what they wanted.
I think I also added in the like, oh, would you like care if I just like was with somebody else?
Oh,
like almost
really?
Like they're like, well, you know, other people are knocking on this door, so you don't lock it down. And his answer was, I'd rather not know about it.
Oh,
and
I've
it's
gotten
like,
that.
Damn it. Like, son of a bitch. You didn't.
Oh.
You're like, in a way, you're like, you just called my bluff. You know nothing's going on over here. You know I'm lying. Or it's like, yeah, maybe someone is knocking on my door, but you know I don't want to go there. And that's why you're like, yeah, whatever, do what you want.
Yeah, because you, like, know it won't.
You're not going anywhere.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, but I really like this in contrast to the rules, because it says, basically, we don't want flawless women, mm-hmm. and or women that make the habit of masking their insecurities and ugly sides with insincere behaviors.
Yeah.
So much of the rules were like, this is being insincere at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, what? They're like, you basically shouldn't be showing vulnerable or like not being in the perfect mood till you have a ring on your finger. And I'm like, that is not real.
Right.
And this book's being like, you're not going to get the ring unless you start showing some emotion.
And that whole book is, I mean, obviously about getting engaged, but it's so focused on the ring and less about building a relationship, which is what these things are talking about.
Yeah, and also one of the authors got divorced, so suck it, rules.
How to keep the ring. That's what they should do next.
Right. Yeah, like one of the things the book says is literally to not tell someone about a divorce till you're engaged. And I was like, how does that not come up? How does that not come up
in this day and age? I would feel so duped if, like, you get engaged and then it's like, hey, BT dubs, there was someone before you.
Or how about a child? Are we hiding a child from a man till we get a ring?
Sweet Jesus.
That'd be insane if you did.
You can't.
Because I would go, if they bounce after that, they have every right to bounce.
Absolutely.
Because you were lying. But also, you wasted your own time.
Yeah.
You just wasted all that time waiting for this ring just to drop a bomb to scare someone away.
Yeah. Meet my little friend.
Yeah. Just like, oh, you know when I canceled last week? It's because my babysitter bailed. Me, Johnny. Like, what the
hell?
I'm
not unreliable. Susie's unreliable.
Yeah, right. It wasn't me. It's that damn babysitter.
She also had soccer practice.
Yeah, right. I can't afford a real adult. I mean, I just, to relate this to, like, I guess herpes and I guess my thing that's my biggest, like, I guess shame that I feel.
Mm-hmm.
When it's worked of telling someone, regardless of exactly what I said, time, place, was basically the two or three times that I, like, owned it and I didn't get upset or at all, like, shaky in telling them.
Yeah.
Like, I, like, had my spiel down. I was confident.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is what it is. Da-da-da. But it's, you know, it's that thing of basically, like, with herpes, if I act like it's a big deal, they feel like it's a big deal. If I act scared, suddenly they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's the same with whatever, like, your baggage or putting yourself out there with someone is.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I had a similar, I mean, sort of, I guess, experience with, like, talking about, you know, the estranged sister. It's never gone well with someone who I was really interested in, trying to talk about family things, because I think out the gate, like, I just got choked up and emotional, especially because at the times I was trying to have the conversations, it was all, like, so new, and I didn't know what to say.
Right.
And then, actually, when I was in London over New Year's, I met this guy in a bar, shit-faced. And he starts asking me, like, about my family. And I was like, you know what? Who cares? And I was like, saying how, like, I have a brother, we're so close. So I was like, and then unfortunately, damn, like, I do have a sister who's estranged. And then he says that he has an estranged sibling. And I was like, that's the dream. That's the dream.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
I mean, that is something that is more common than we think.
Yeah, that's true.
And mainly because, you know, you and I basically had very close families.
Right.
For the majority of our lives.
Yeah.
So to us, it's like, man, that's crazy. I can't believe they don't talk anymore.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you watch a movie like Knives Out and it's like, damn, when there's a will involved and some money, very easy for people to suddenly stop talking, you
know? That's true.
Right? Or, like, if you have two kids and, you know, say you're the parent, you pay for one kid's wedding in full, and then the next one's getting married, and you're like, we don't have money.
Ran out.
And you're like, you got nothing? They're like, we got nothing. It's like, damn, as the kid, you just feel like, what, do you like the other kid more?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like there's so many emotions with that. That's like, oof.
Oh, God.
Oh, the big thing is the forgiveness thing.
Mm.
So asking for forgiveness when they're wrong And you'd be surprised how little of this men actually see. I feel like also women. I feel like both ways.
Yeah.
Specifically, yeah. Asking for forgiveness. I'm like, now, when I read that, I'm like, well, does that more just mean being like, I'm really sorry, I fucked up?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think to ask for forgiveness, you have to, like, say you're sorry.
Right, but I'm like, do you literally add the part where you're like, do you forgive me? Seems like...
Yeah, well, I think that's saying, like, can we get through this?
You know, or just, like... Are you still upset? What can I do to make it right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't feel like in my life I have ever literally said, do you forgive me?
Yeah, or
can you
so.
Forgive me?
Unless like, you're like a child, like learning how to say I'm sorry.
Actually, maybe in confession.
I've definitely done that.
Praying after church confession. Hello? Please, please still let me into heaven. All right.
Reconciliation.
Really sorry sacrament. About what I did. Sorry, I talked back to my mom.
I didn't do the dishes.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, I think that's more just like admitting when you're wrong is kind of how I read that.
Yeah, that's how I took it too.
Not necessarily asking for the forgiveness of it, but just basically being like, hey, I was wrong. You're right. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard my parents do that. But it's mostly because my dad will make a joke out of it. If my mom's like, you were right, Sonny.
Yeah.
He's like, everybody hear that? Everybody hear that I was correct on this one? You know, like kind of thing.
Classic
and it's almost like
joke.
That's his way to get his forgiveness. It's like, let me announce it to the family.
Yeah.
That I was right this one time this month. Or whatever, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've definitely tried. Like, I messed up royally with my most recent ex, and it was like why we broke up.
Really?
Just like caused like a huge fight.
Can I know what the mess up was?
Yeah, sure. So he came back for the summer, or like from being gone for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, this wasn't like totally my fault, but he came to the bar. I'm like 23, 24 at the time, mind you. And he came to the bar and he said he was going out and with like all the like grad students, and I was out of school, so I was like living there all summer, and he comes in and just totally ignores me, and I'm there with like my one buddy at the bar, and I was like, what's happening? Like,
mm-hmm.
I'd been so excited to see him like come back, and like we were finally gonna like start like really like being together, because we had started to like talk at the end of the school year before.
Okay.
And so then we both just ended up getting like super drunk, and I started like a fight with him.
Cause so this is super drunk, still not talking to each other.
Right.
And
it's over
in
like
the bar.
It's
you
over
a fight.
It's over text. Cause then he like leaves.
Oh, baby.
It's over like text.
This brings me back.
Yeah. It was very immature.
This brings me back to younger years. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's why I was like, I was 23, 24. Mm. Like, don't judge me. Well, so then he like left, and I was like, I texted him. I was like, you seriously just left? Like, you didn't even acknowledge that I'm here? And then
you have a right to say that.
Yeah. And like he wouldn't answer my messages or my calls. I was like, what's happening? So then I just got pissed and I started like just hitting like send, because he kept ignoring it. So I was like, oh, we're just gonna play this button game back and forth.
Oh.
And he was hammered at that point. Like, I got really drunk and it just did not go well. And so then the next day, like, I tried to talk about it and he like would not have it. And that's where
it ended. There was a texting fight, like you said a bunch of stuff via text.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't answering you.
Right.
Which, I mean, listen, I hear the story as an adult, maybe even back then, but I would have sat there being like, well, him ignoring you is a huge problem if that's supposed to be your man.
Right. Like, the
step
one.
Or even someone you're dating on a basic level.
And you come in with a bunch of, like, girls from the grad program. And I was
whether
like,
whether it's girls or boys, but it's like, you're going to blow me off? Like,
right.
I'm nobody and I don't matter?
Right.
I don't care what you said in those texts, but I'd be like, yeah.
You don't even acknowledge me? Like, come on.
Right.
Yeah, so.
But it's almost that thing of he ignored you to make you blow up, to then blame your blow up for the reason.
Yeah, because he did end up later telling me, he was like, I got back and like I realized I didn't want a relationship. And was like, well, we could have saved a lot of drama.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Sure.
But, yeah, but like I did the next day, like, say I was sorry. And like try and fix it, and he just like was not having it.
Oof.
Yeah,
Well, I mean, you tried.
I did.
Because I feel like the whole, when it says, if a man can stand firm as your emotions wash over him, he's worthy of your time. I think that also kind of goes for when you do get mad about something. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, it, when anyone's mad at me that I care about, I don't want them to be mad anymore, and I want to, like, fix it on some level.
Oh, for sure.
Right? So it's like, you know, even if things, like, escalate and whatnot, I would at least look at what I did and be like, all right, well, I was being a little unfair.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, well, maybe I shouldn't have done XYZ. And I know that if I do XYZ again, you're going to be mad.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cause and effect. How about that? I'll see how that works. All right, well, let's just end this with a little beautiful quote, I think, on this chapter. Is sometimes the very thing you're hiding from the world might be the one thing that makes you exceptionally beautiful to a man. I mean, we could say that to anybody.
I think it's true that it's like, it's just a different level of intimacy of, you know, showing them something that the rest of the world doesn't see, or them, right, you know, you don't show most people.
Right. I mean, that's even like bringing someone home to your family,
mm-hmm,
is like an intimate thing of like, hey, I haven't done this with many people, or if anyone.
Yeah.
Is something that's like, hey, I've never done this and I really want you to meet my family, or
yeah,
you know, whatever the thing is to you that's like maybe a big deal.
Especially as you get older, I feel like that's a really good point of like the family is like a big part of that, because like, one, if you move away, you probably don't bring a lot of people back,
right?
And then two, as you get older, especially if you move away, you change quite a bit. Like, mm-hmm, I'm very different than the girl who grew up down the street from a farm in Norwich, New York, you know, like,
right,
living in New York City. Like, I'm just a very different person than I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to bring someone home and for them to see that would be a very intimate thing.
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's kind of the thing of, what's the quote? I feel like I mentioned it on here before. There's nobody you wouldn't love if you didn't know their story.
Mm.
And it's like,
I like that,
opening up just your whole life, and it's almost like finding out why people are the way they are,
mm-hmm,
is a level of intimacy.
Absolutely.
And a lot of that especially comes from like meeting someone's family.
Yeah.
Being like, oh, okay, this is how your family operates, and that makes sense why you XYZ, you know, kind
of. Right.
It's like, oh, this is where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
But especially that, I think a lot of people don't see, unless like you're dating someone you met in high school.
No, right. I mean, nothing wrong with that, but you know.
Yeah. Okay. Next chapter. The very long title. Basically, how do you concentrate your efforts on escalating his emotional attachment to you? Contrary to popular belief, most men want emotional intimacy.
I love that it's like, I know you're not going to believe me, but
you're never
going to
believe
out
this. Hold the phone.
Just in.
Yeah. This just in. All right. So it says there are two ways to accomplish this. The first one is to be receptive. When a man does anything that shows he cherishes you and wants to protect you, provide, or possess you, ownership, appreciate it a lot. Your appreciation will reaffirm that you accept his masculine need to protect, provide for, or possess that which is feminine and tender.
I like this because it shows a lot of the roots of the masculine versus feminine energy.
Mm-hmm.
That like you have to hit that balance. Like, if a man is trying to be masculine, and I mean, I think they mean possess in a positive way, but like, have,
I think it
you
means
as
like
theirs,
this is my girlfriend.
Yeah,
like
you need to like meet that with like the nurturing side, mm-hmm, that just appreciates it.
Yeah, I was gonna say even possess, I think, also is like public displays of affection.
Yeah,
is it's like, hey, appreciate that.
Yeah, because
that's something that like, I was talking to my good friend today of like, she's been dating a guy a couple years, and it's like really died of,
oh,
the physical affection, even like privately.
Okay.
And she's kind of in this like, I don't know what to do. And I'm not saying she didn't appreciate it when it happened.
Right.
But most couples, it's like, yeah, there's the honeymoon phase.
Oh, for sure.
And it's like, appreciate the honeymoon phase, or, you know, just be appreciative of like other little things that they do. Like the other quote it says is just, if he does something unusually thoughtful or goes out of his way to meet a need of yours, cherish it and show your appreciation in word and deed. I cannot stress this enough. So it's something like, I originally first read that and was kind of like, what does that mean? Like, blow them. like part of me was like, he buys me flowers. I mean, you just get a blowjob. It's like, we're really going to Pavlov dog this.
And that's a slippery slope.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, damn, blowjobs are a lot more work than picking out flowers. yeah. But, you know.
I'd like to see you suck a dick, Brian.
Right, yeah, right? Like, I mean, if I did something nice for you every time you went down on me, it's like, would it work? Would I keep doing nice stuff for you? Yeah, obviously. But it's an unrealistic expectation. like, but, it, you know, it's something of, like, the man pays. And you're like, thank you. And you could give them a kiss on the cheek or I guess whatever their love language is.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, I think deed can be really anything. I mean, you could also like get them a little something or like do like an act of service type of thing. Like you said, depending on their love language.
True. I would even say a deed is like, you know, you're wearing a cute pair of underwear. It could be very simple.
Well, because men are simple creatures. Like, yeah.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Or it's even like sometimes like, I mean, this kind of drives me crazy when people do it, but I get why they do it of like when you brag about your partner.
Oh, yeah.
Like even to like a total stranger.
It's so annoying to listen to, but I get why people do it. Yeah.
But it's something like because I think when it happens when you're hearing it, you feel like the person's just bragging.
Yeah.
Like you're like, girl, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Yeah, he's great. Who cares? You know? Yeah.
Good for you.
But when they're doing it in front of their partner, it's like, actually, I think this is for your partner.
Yeah.
It's like making them feel good that you're so proud of them for whatever reason it is.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Or even like, I got something even simple like he mowed the lawn.
Yeah.
And you like, when like someone comes over and you're like, doesn't the lawn look nice? So-and-so mowed it.
Right.
Didn't you do a great job?
Yeah. Men need the little like puff in their feathers.
That example I just gave reminded me of the quote, men are like children.
They are. They are so much like children.
It's like, children need a lot of praise.
Yeah.
They do need a lot of praise and encouragement.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they say the second way to go about this is by drawing him into you with female moments of enticing tenderness. These moments display a woman's capacity to love proactively, and they are usually the moments men remember most when you ask them, so when did you know when you wanted to marry her? They're subtle, but important, but most importantly, they're specific to different men.
Okay. Sadly, though, I think this question of like, when did you know you wanted to marry her? Most of us genuinely have no idea until that question gets asked.
My parents both knew the first night that they went out.
But like, if you were to ask your dad, what was the exact moment?
Oh.
Your mom wouldn't know the moment. Like, I agree that there's mutual chemistry on a first date of you're like, okay, you want a second date. Like,
no, my mom called my grandma that night and said, I met the man I'm going to marry.
Right. I'm saying there's just like a chemistry where you're like, this works.
Oh,
but like, I feel like if you were to ask your mom, what was the moment you knew you wanted to marry him? And then ask your dad, what was the moment you knew you wanted to marry her? Would probably be different moments, or they couldn't pick out what those moments were for the other person. Does that make sense?
I guess. I don't know. My dad actually just told me that he knew on the first date he was going to marry my mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And my mom knew right away. They still had like kind of some bumpy moments, and they weren't like exclusive, but they were both like, okay, like this is my person.
They both were like, I gotta play it cool.
Yeah, just be cool. I gotta be cool. Yeah. I don't know, so I think people have their moments or like parts that kind of like click.
This is the thing that makes you click with a person, because the next little line it literally says in the book is, well, one man might find to be an unforgettably adorable moment with you. Another man might not even consider significant at all.
Right.
I mean, that's just dating.
Yeah, like, that's true.
You don't know who you're going to click with and when you're going to click and why sometimes. Yeah. It's just like, I just knew. There was something of like, I want to keep seeing this person.
Yeah, I think that's like, but there really is no hard answer on like, you got to do this. And when he does this, you got to do that. It's like, well, every human being is different. Like, this is just interaction. And that's why I like that you pointed out that it's about the like sincere moments and not doing anything that's like, I guess, insincere. And
like a lot of the advice that women get does feel very insincere. It's like, then how are you gonna have this?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then the next part it touches on is basically the love languages.
Mm-hmm.
One of the keys to loving proactively lies in how effective you are at understanding the way the man you're interested in prefers to give and receive love. And then it just goes through the examples. Physical affection, acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, gifts. Those are the five.
Okay.
So I feel like, though, this is something that you naturally connect with someone on.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know many people that early in dating were like, hey, go, do you know your love language? And like, take this test.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they do, but it was like,
it was something that would go well.
Right. Because also it's like, they stress the thing I mentioned in our love languages episode that we did is like how you receive isn't necessarily how you give.
Right.
Like I found that I tend to give more physical affection.
Mm-hmm.
And with Eggs Benedict, that's not how he mainly received affection.
Right.
So he like would get annoyed sometimes if I just like gave him a kiss, which to me, I was like, I'm showing you love.
I'm like, trying my best.
Right. Like yeah. I was like, I thought that's okay. Like,
what a bummer. Aren't most men physical?
Yeah. that wasn't his number one.
What a rough draw.
I know. I forget what his number one was. I know gifts, I think, was one or two.
Okay.
That I was like, oh, all right. Words was last, which that kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I believe physical was three. I forget how long. I mean, that was ages.
You made
ago.
Him take the test.
He took the test. Well, because I was doing it for the podcast. And I was intrigued by it. Right. So I was like, yeah, take it. Yeah. And he was like, oh, I've never taken that. What is that? And I was like,
share me your results immediately.
Yeah. I was like, you want to take it? Here's the link, you know? And
yeah.
then because it was a fun thing, I think I tried to guess. And I put words first because it was like we were talking all the time via like texting and stuff.
Right.
So I was like, oh, seems like you like words.
Yeah.
Like I knew he wasn't super physical because it was like, yeah, man, we haven't like made out yet, but you know, here you go.
Talking all the time.
Right. Or whatever it was. So, yeah, I forget what the list was, but it was something that like a little farther into us dating was like, hey, can I tell you something that's really bothered me the other day? And it was that I like gave him a kiss in front of his brother.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Good to know.
And I was like, all right, well, I don't know. And I couldn't even remember when it even happened.
Okay.
So it was very just like, I don't know, man. I was just having a good time.
Yeah. Like, oh my God.
Type of thing, you know? Yeah, that's something that it's like, I basically look at marriages that like worked. This sounds so sad. It's obviously more reasons than your love language, but it's something that sometimes you're like, how do I? And then it's like, oh, you indirectly notice like, oh, they have the same love language.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, like some people, like you'll never see them be physically affectionate. You'll never hear them be like, love you, honey.
Right.
But you'll see like, oh, they cleaned that up for them.
Or, right.
Oh, they went out of their way to go pick up that thing for them. Like, oh, they're acts of service.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Right? So I think like a lot of times it's like it naturally works out with someone that you just line up.
Yeah. I mean, I think in a lot of ways, love languages is just another way to say chemistry.
True.
Right?
Like, yeah. Or it's something that like with that kiss thing with Eggs Benedict, I was just like, that was the first time I felt like, oh, you know what? We fundamentally just might not work.
Right.
And I was like, all right, let me see.
Right.
Was correct.
I mean, because especially if those are moments that are important to you, or just you don't want to have to like stop yourself from just, you know, just not having to like think about doing it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because like you said, like you didn't even remember it happening. So if like then you're just in your head of like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. it's distracting.
Yeah. Or I'd be sitting on the couch with him like, yeah, I kind of just want to lean over and give him a kiss, but I felt like I couldn't.
Yeah, and that's uncomfortable.
And that's something like, I think it was like, I was on Lev's podcast talking about it, and Lev was like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean you can't do that? Like, he like couldn't believe it, and I was like, clearly physical is your language, Lev. Clearly it is, because you can't wrap your head around someone not wanting that.
Right.
Type of thing.
But it's against the rules.
Yeah. It's against the rules. Here's a part I like that they did in this chapter. So they basically kind of point out how men are vulnerable first, technically, and women are vulnerable second, right? So it says, I'll admit that a woman has to be vulnerable and willing to risk rejection to love proactively. Generally, men risk rejection by being the pursuers and initiators of romantic interest. Women, on the other hand, risk rejection as the primary pursuers of commitment. So the same way a man must put his neck out there to approach, meet, and pursue the romantic desires of a woman must accept the risks that come from getting a man to form an emotional attachment to her in order to secure his commitment.
So who do you think's putting more out there?
I mean, the podcast is called Shooters Gotta Shoot because we'll shoot shots.
Yeah.
We're like, yo, mad easier to just ask a dude out than be emotional with him? Excuse me?
I would love to get kicked down by a stranger way more than I would like to put emotions out there with someone I'm into.
Oh, for sure.
God, no.
For sure, leave me on red.
Yeah.
As opposed to telling me you're fucking other people.
Yeah.
Oh damn. Yeah, I don't, I mean, listen, I just liked that it put it in basically being like, look, men are basically taught and bred, this is how you put yourself out there, and then we're taught and bred, this is how you put yourself out there, in a way.
Yeah,
it's almost like, I don't know, I mean, I never felt like someone sat there being like, listen, you gotta, like, you know, be emotional with the man for him to be emotional with you.
No one, like, I was like, told me that ever.
I wasn't told that.
Mm-mm. No,
not at all. I mean, I think it's like if we use a crying as an example, it's like, look, typically, yeah, the woman in the relationship is going to cry before she ever sees the man cry.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I've seen men in my life cry twice.
Like men that, like, weren't like family, like someone you're dating.
Oh, no, I was counting family. So someone I'm dating.
Yeah. I'm like, we count family. I got a good handful because it's like, yeah, we've all, you know, been at some funerals together.
Even know? That, you lock it up, man.
All right. Well, you're Irish. So.
Yeah. You get a couple of tears and listen, then you're going to water down the beer. OK,
listen, I've seen my grandfather get choked up still talking about my grandmother.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it's like, right. So it's one of those things. It's like, you know, we get emotional in that sense. It's like, that's OK. We're allowed to miss dead people.
Right. No, we got to dig a little hole in your chest, bury it in there, and never talk about it.
Man, but I almost like that. It's almost like, hey, you know what? He was putting himself out there, pursuing you, asking for your number, straight up asking you out, whatever it is, right? I mean, I guess we have yet to really experience this.
Allegedly,
when this happens. So it's kind of like, actually, no, I think this is more modern too. It's like, it's almost like it doesn't matter who DMs first. I feel like, yeah, it's always the woman pursuing the commitment thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, almost always. I'm sure there's some other, you know, cases, but
yeah, there are. It's, you know, I've had friends be like, oh, they asked me to be his girlfriend, and like, I just want to
what's that
wait
like
2 weeks. I don't know. Ask AMAC. I don't know. She always gets them, so.
Yeah, I gotta take some notes from her. She should write a book.
Yeah, because I've also debated, like, I feel like many people I know that are these, like, just very open types that, like, they draw people in, and it's, I guess, maybe the types that always have the boyfriend or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, though, I know that the woman will specifically be like, I'm not saying I love you first, though. It's like they'll hold off on the I love you, but they'll be, like, the emotional and more vulnerable person, like, initiating a lot of other aspects.
Okay.
But that part's almost like, they're too chicken on that to say that first.
Yeah.
I've never said I love you to somebody, but I never also genuinely, like, felt it. I don't know. Do you know who said I love you first in your parents' relationship?
I don't. But
my mom did. I know that, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently she, like, said it while they were on the phone or something, like, at the end. Mm-hmm. And she was like, and then I, like she was at the end of the conversation. She's like, and I remember being like, all right. And, like, kind of, like, was like, see ya, and hung up.
Oh my God.
Because she was like, I didn't want to feel the rejection of, like, if he didn't say it in return.
Right.
But it also was a confidence where she was like, I did feel it and I wanted to say it, so I said it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, all right. I don't know if, like, the next time it was him saying it or if she, like, dropped it again.
Oh,
but I remember her being like, oh, I remember saying I love you to your dad and, like, hanging up the phone.
Oh my God. Yeah. My ex used to say it. But, like, when he was
really?
Drunk. Yeah. My grad
Wait,
school
New
ex.
York City or grad school?
Grad school.
So, New York. That's the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry,
same guy.
Okay,
yeah. The guy you're thinking of, he used to say it. And he did the phone move one time. And but then I would try and, like, talk about it the next day of, like, what's going on? Because, like, we weren't
committed.
Yeah.
And then he just like wouldn't talk about it or to me after that. I'm like, what's happening here? Mm-hmm.
Like, well, also sadly, I have a male friend that he'll drop it during sex, like,
yeah, that's
one
not
night
good.
Stand, drop it. And it's no. like, I think that's probably a therapy thing.
Yeah, that's gotta be.
You know, or I guess like I would be kind of irked to be in a relationship if like that was the only time a man told me he loved me.
Oh, I'd be so pissed.
Like, I'd be like, what? How come it's only while we're having sex?
Right.
And never at any other time.
I feel like there's something else you love.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So to wrap this up, we're going to do it with this little part that says, most importantly, as things progress, don't worry about the outcome and never keep score. Simply love him proactively and use both your common sense and female intuition to decipher whether or not your love is being respected or simply taken for granted. If a man respects, responds to, and returns your love with greater displays of loyalty and commitment, he's a keeper. If he doesn't, kick him to the curb.
Boom.
Yeah, I think that's like understanding the love that you deserve. Or what's that quote that's like, we receive the love that we think we deserve or something like that.
Yeah, there's something like that.
Yeah.
Or it's almost like you, what you put up with is what's going to continue.
Right.
There's like many versions of that saying.
Yeah, so it's mm-hmm. like knowing your own worth and what you're putting out there to someone. And if you're not getting it in return, then move on. Like, your every person is more valuable than that and should be loved and valued.
Yeah. Like, basically, it's just saying, like, when you feel like something's off or you're upset about something, it's like it's probably because it's, in this case, not being reciprocated on mm-hmm. some level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
The subtle part of this that I really like that goes against some of the other female advice is never keep score. Because a lot of the books that we've read have said, like, basically a woman should always, like, be down in, like, the cat if you were keeping score, like, do less for a man, basically.
Yeah, like, even just like the texting every day.
Right.
Never send the first text.
Right.
For, like, whatever amount of time. And it's something that's like, look, when you truly, I think, connect with the person and are, like, even just dating them and you're not even, like, girlfriend title, it's like it hits a point that it's like, I don't even remember, oh, who texted first last time.
Right.
Or, oh, it's been 2 days since I've heard from it. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of like you just hit a flow.
Right.
You're like, yeah, I text them when I have something to say.
Exactly.
I don't worry about this anymore.
It kind of goes to, like, level it out with how you communicate with your friends and, like, people who you have strong relationships with. Like, you and I'm not sitting there counting our texts. Like, well, I mean, it's her turn. You
right.
Know? Like,
exactly.
That's psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow in our relationships, we do these things
for sure,
and we think that it's normal, and it's not at all.
Right. Or basically, like, if you're keeping score about a specific thing, like the last episode we talked about that whole the homebody situation
mm-hmm.
of like, why am I always going to your neighborhood, right, or
yeah.
to your apartment?
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's, you know, you're somewhere that's like, okay, we live 10 minutes away, but it's still like, why am I always driving the 10 minutes to your house mm-hmm. and you're not coming to my house, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're keeping score about that, it's because it bothers you. So
right.
bring it up.
Right.
But you don't have to literally bring up the score.
Yeah.
But like that
four
advice.
4-1, baby.
Right. Yeah. 4-1. That's the matchmaker rule, yeah. actually, if we want to get into rules. Millionaire matchmaker. But yeah, but basically just being like, hey, like, you got to come to me this time. Like, da-da-da. Like, making it a cute joke, like he said.
Yeah.
But also, it's just like, clearly it's something that bothers you. Or that's showing that the man isn't into you and making efforts.
Yeah, especially after you voice something like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you feel like you're not, you know, that it's not equal, and you feel like it should be.
Right, because that's the part I like about this is basically just being like, yeah, if you basically are loving someone unconditionally and, like, giving them all your love, and you're like, I'm not getting what I need in return, it's like, well, then leave. Like, it's almost mm-hmm. saying, like, at this point, when you're putting yourself out there in these ways, this is giving you your answer of, do you continue seeing this person?
Right. And it's not always going to go your way.
No. I mean, a lot of times when you open up about something, or even, like, you know, we could say vulnerability literally is even just sleeping with a person
mm-hmm.
of a lot of, you know, women and dating men is basically, like, you finally sleep with them and then you feel like everything has changed
mm-hmm.
and they're not doing the things they used to do mm-hmm. or they're basically no longer pursuing you at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, because the chase is gone. And sometimes, yeah, sadly, that's what's up.
Yeah.
That's literally what's happening is, oh, they were just in it to finally get the sex. And once the sex happened,
they're on to the next
they're
one.
They're like, well, all right. Yeah. On to the next thing.
Won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying to never put out, but it's almost like, yeah, a lot of times once you start sleeping with someone is giving you answers in other ways.
For sure.
Right? It's like the thing of like you hook up with someone. It's like, do they do the cool move? I'm not going to contact them for a few days. Or are they the next day like, hey, I had a really great time last night.
Yeah.
Like, and are just talking to you like nothing weird happened.
What's that like?
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. Or that's even on the woman, right? After you sleep with someone, if you're like, I want to send them a text that's like, hey, I had a nice time last night, fucking send the text.
Yeah.
What are you worried about?
Oh my God, send the text.
It's
just send the text. And if they don't answer or they're
weird, then you
get your answer.
That's an answer.
You don't have to sit there stewing like, oh my God, it's been 3 days. Like, no, fucking send the text.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Well, I think that wraps up our episode on this today. Keep sending in any questions or suggestions you have. I think this was something suggested by one of our listeners. Mm-hmm. So if you have any sources and suggestions you think would be great if we covered, we're at shootersgottashootpod@gmail.com. And our podcast Instagram is @shootersgottashootpod. And my Instagram is @Sparica.
And I'm @TheGuacamole.
And we will see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Bye.